Yeah. It's baby E on the train. Say, trapping it in all, so I've been moving weight. Pigeons in the trunk, I'm on the interstate. Made myself a
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Millennial Revolver Show with your hosts, Dana Farah and Nick. Right now, we're going to get into our main topic, focused on the Charleston shooting.
The Charleston shooting was an incident that occurred in South Carolina when a man, a 21-year-old man, walked into a church and within an hour of sitting in the church, opened fire and killed 9 congregants. So why? Why would someone walk into a church, open fire after an hour of sitting down with prayer with them? Well, this answer was soon quickly revealed online when people found Mr. Roof's manifesto and his motives behind his shootings. Nick, did you have a chance to read it?
I did, and I had a couple quotes that stuck out to me. It's a good read. You can find it on the internet.
I wouldn't say good read, but it's a great insight into this man, because a lot of people are criticizing the media, and rightfully so, and we'll get into that a little bit into the show, about their reaction to this man and why he did what he did. I wanted to quote him and give you guys a quote that I really think encapsulates this man, really encapsulates everything that he was saying. Okay, and I quote, "Anyone who thinks white and black people look as different as they do on the outside but are somehow magically the same on the inside is delusional. How could our faces, skin, hair, and body structure all be different but our brains be exactly the same?" End quote.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff. It just goes to see that his mind is warped. He didn't really see, you know, all of us as equals, obviously.
Yeah, when I read it, I felt like I was reading something that someone had read in the early 1900s.
Right,
If you were not aware, back then when there was segregation, there was pseudoscience released about, you know, African Americans that, you know, they weren't as intelligent or they were somehow biologically inferior to people who were white. Now, this, again, pseudoscience was released to kind of push that agenda of segregation and we are different, blah, blah, blah. So it was so, you know, disheartening to read this. Now, the reason this is, I guess this man was be the definition of ignorance. You know, there's no way he has sat in, you know, a 10th grade, 11th grade history class and been taught this, because if I remember, this is what I learned in those stages. I don't know if you did too, Nick. I'd be surprised if you didn't, but this is when they taught us about propaganda and all this issues and the segregation. I mean, how does someone that lives in 2015 America think this way?
Yeah, I mean, when I read that quote, you know, I was very, you know, taken aback by it. But at the same time, I wasn't shocked, because I've been to the South. I've known a few people like Dylan. They're just backward thinkers. They're stuck in a time, and they're not progressive. They're not willing. They're not open minded, and they're not willing to, you know, see the other side of the coin, or, you know, another person's perspective. And I feel like these closed minded individuals are usually the ones that end up becoming, you know, people that end up harming other people for whatever reasons, even though they may think they may be justified reasons.
Very true. Like you said, this guy is educating himself in the wrong thing. And I feel that people around him and people that he's grown up around have this similar mentality. I mean, you're not born this way. You're not born thinking that someone is different than you. So it's something that I wanted to talk about is the way the media was handling this incident. And when people were talking about it, many news sources were speaking about Roof like they were unsure about his motives.
Right, exactly.
I heard a couple news outlets talking about, well, is this a religious attack? Is this about Christianity and, you know, an attack on religion?
And okay, it's funny because they want to go ahead and guess at his motives when he plainly put his motives out there on the internet
and,
for everyone to read.
And that's what's mind-boggling, because I would really much say that if this was an Arab, okay, if this was someone who was Middle Eastern and they had this type of manifesto online, they would automatically be deemed as a terrorist. And you know
exactly.
Roof is a terrorist. He is. And just like you said, he had a social agenda. Listen, I went ahead and Googled the definition of on terrorism and what the FBI would classify someone who is over this content. And the definition that they had online was that terrorism defines it as the unlawful use or force of violence against any property of people to intimidate, okay, any civilian or coerce the government for there to push a political or social objective. Roof made it clear. He made it clear that his objective was to hurt people that were African American in order to push forward the agenda of white supremacy.
And it's unlike a general in battle or a president choosing where to strike in war. You want to choose places that, you know, have you heard the the saying, you know, let's hit him where it hurts, but we want to make a message out of it, you know. He was trying to send a message.
Yeah, this guy was 100% politically motivated, and this is what he is. He is a terrorist, 100%. Exactly. Now, this brings us to our debate in the media, and people, you typically millennials, were so aware of this, that when it is a white shooter, when someone is not a minority, it is automatically tried to be covered up. This person was mentally insane. Okay, when people were talking about the incident, people were talking about gun control. Exactly. Okay, like this was someone who was mentally ill, who had issues, that somehow was able to get a gun. Racism is not a sickness. You know, it's not exactly. something that you're born
choice.
With.
It's a way of life. It's
exactly. And you know what? There is no test. There's no gun issued licensing test that asks you if you're a racist.
Right,
you can't
right.
test for this. This is not about gun control. This was a perfectly sane 21-year-old kid. Not even kids, excuse me, man.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, grown man, he knew exactly what he was doing. And I feel like he kind of, I mean, whether he wanted to do this or not, he kind of indicted himself in his own manifesto, basically, you know, saying why he chose the church, his views and his feels on African-American population.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I don't even want to entertain this guy. I don't even want to waste time.
But you know
what's
going to come up in
him.
Court. That's why, you know, we have to bring it up. You know, in court, they're going to try and get him off on the insanity plea.
Let's hope that this is trialed correctly, because we've seen, I mean, this is not the first incident that we've seen like this.
Is it time to stop flying the Confederate flag?
Well, at the end of the day, it's time for people in South Carolina to revisit that decision would be fine with me. But this is part of who we are. The flag represents to some people a civil war, and that was the symbol of one side. To others, it's a racist symbol, and it's been used by people. It's been used in a racist way. But the problems we have in South Carolina and throughout the world are not because of a movie or a symbol. It's because of what's in people's heart. You know, how do you go back and reconstruct America? I mean, what do we do in terms of our history?
And what is the answer? What is the answer?
I think the answer
today
is that we move forward in a balanced way, that we make sure that the compromise in South Carolina works here, that we look and see what is going on in Baltimore.
The compromise of being able to still fly the Confederate flag because it's part of the proud tradition for some Carolinians.
Yeah, there's a Confederate War Memorial out front, and there's an African-American
and
memorial.
And that works for you?
It works here. That's what the State House agreed to do. But you could probably visit other places in the country, and there's some symbol that doesn't strike you as quite right.
And it works here. Words like that ring hollow to me from Lindsey Graham. It just makes me wonder, Z, you know, if he's on the side of there's Confederate Army Memorial outside, and he justifies that memorial with an African-American memorial beside it. You know, what else could he do as a president, you know, in his mind? Hey, this is just who we are, to say, you know, desegregating America or something like that.
Yeah, no, careful. Like you said, he's not a president. He's just someone that has stated that he is 98% sure he's running for president candidacy.
And could be your president.
Yeah, and again, he's not someone. He is the U.S. Senator of, drumroll please, what state? South Carolina. So a U.S. Senator of South Carolina is saying, hey, this emblem, this flag that represented in the past people that were very much adamant about building our country off slavery, he's saying that this past should be remembered, should be celebrated, and he believes in that. And it's so astounding, and it's so heart-wrenching to hear this. This is an elected official.
As someone who's grown up there his entire life and is from there, you know, this flag is deeply rooted in who I am. This flag I was raised with. So I can feel the trepidation and the angst in his voice when he says this is who we are, because he knows, I think, on one hand, that this might be the wrong stance to take as far as keeping the flag.
I think he doesn't think it's the wrong stance. I think he realizes that they are unique, because he said you can go to other places and, you know, maybe they don't have that. But, you know, like you said, he feels that this is who they are. And I want to tell people who don't really might not understand what the Confederate flag really stands for. But ultimately, this flag was served as an emblem, okay, for the military of a government that was fighting a war against the U.S. in the name of defending and upholding racial slavery. This is what the Confederates were about. This was their agenda. Now, right. I'm all for celebrating our history and remembering where we come from, but we should not celebrate parts of our history where we failed.
Exactly.
Racial segregation and slavery is a blemish on the American history. This is a moment in history where we failed. Okay, so it's scary to think a United States senator, this is our senator, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we have
elected public
official.
Yeah,
this is why we have the Millennial Revolver show, to open people's eyes and see these are the type of people, this guy could potentially be the next president of the United States, and he believes that the Confederate flag is part of his history. You know, and he said that, hey, you know, the flag is not to blame for the shooting. And that is very much the case. But the flag helps continue this agenda and to make people feel like it is okay. I mean, Roof had pictures on his manifesto of him holding the flag, proudly holding it. This has been a symbol for white supremacy. I mean, Nick, if you were to see someone having this emblem on their car, okay, because there are a lot of states in the United States that can have this on their car, just to list a few: Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, all these kind of southern states. Not a symbol of, oh, this was our roots, this is where we came from. It's a symbol of hatred, and it's a symbol of supremacy.
Yeah, and so it's hard to see. You know, I'm interested to see what Lindsey Graham, you know, does on his take with this flag, because, you know, he's as through and through as they come. But since he wants to be, you know, a president, you know, is he going to change his views?
I don't think he will. I think he's very much a conservative, and he's very much tied with conservative agenda. Now, on the flip side, there are Republicans, however, that are voicing opposite opinions than him. A man, obviously, that you must know, Mitt Romney, he actually went to Twitter and voiced his opinion on the issue. And what he tweeted is, "Take down the Confederate flag at the South Carolina Capitol. To many, it is a symbol of racial hatred. Remove it now to honor the Charleston victims." And again, he was a former governor of Massachusetts.
Okay.
Nick, what do you think of his stance?
I mean, I feel like Mitt Romney's just playing to the popular thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's just probably doing that just to, you know, stay on the positive side of everyone's, you know, mind. As far as he truly believes that, I mean, like, I really don't know. I don't know him like that personally.
Well, I mean, what makes you doubt him? Why not doubt Graham? You don't know him either. You don't know what kind of person he is. Maybe the popular opinion is to keep
My view on Mitt Romney is just kind of a little tainted from the last election, just because mm-hmm. we learned a lot about him. And I really have nothing to relate to him. He's like a millionaire.
So him being a millionaire and him being unrelatable means you don't think that he thinks that the flag should be removed from the state capitol?
I guess it's kind of, I'm like the wrong person to ask my opinion on Mitt Romney, because I feel like Mitt Romney doesn't have an opinion on
sounds
anything.
Sounds like there's some prejudice. I mean, I was just happy to see
I feel like
someone
he's just taking the popular stance on whatever
but
is.
What justifies this popular? Because a lot of people are split on this. What popular?
Well, I would
like
say the majority of people want the flag taken down.
Well, is that because you live in Southern California?
It could be, but yeah. I feel like, you know, that we wouldn't be talking about it if the majority of people wanted the flag to be upheld.
Unfortunately, there are still states in our country that fly the Confederate flag in front of their state buildings. In order for us to push towards racial equality and even continue to further change things, we need to bring this flag down. A petition has been started in order to accomplish this goal, and its message has been reaching people all over the country. The petition hopes to acquire 575,000 signatures, and so far over 566,000 have been collected. Now, the plan is to get this petition to the South Carolina State House, where it will be received by the State Senate and the Governor of South Carolina. Hopefully, by the time you guys are listening to this episode, even more signatures have been added and we're even closer to this goal. Currently, we need about 9,000 to 8,000 more, so please go ahead and take the time to sign it. It's worth the short amount of time that it takes. Both Nick and I have already done so. Now, in order to find this link, you can find it either on our Facebook, which is at TheMRPage, or on our Twitter account at TheMRShow. Now, that's the with two E's. So please go ahead, find the link over there, and go ahead and sign it, and feel free to spread it. Again, we're so, so, so close to this. Let's start. I want to end this first show by reminding everyone the power of one. It starts by going online and signing a petition, but it goes so much more beyond that. It goes on to you breaking your silence in your day-to-day lives. Don't underestimate the power of one and the influence only you yourself can have on the people around you. Now, one brave and strong individual that took advantage of this weekend was activist Bree Newsom, and she proved it by climbing a 30-foot flagpole pole in South Carolina in front of the state house. And you know what she did? She took down the Confederate flag herself. She broke the law in order to demand change by an unjust system, and my highest applause goes to her and her bravery. Again, she was just one person, and her message rang so, so high, despite the fact that very soon after she put it down, they put the flag right back up. But this is what I'm talking, and we're so excited to be a part of the Millennial Revolver show and to be able to bring the power of one into a power for all. Thank you for listening, and catch us next time here on the Millennial Revolver show.